Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How Will You Measure Your Life? Is a personal development and business thought book by Clayton M. Christensen, written with James Allworth and Karen Dillon. Building on Christensen's work as a Harvard Business School professor and theorist of innovation, the book translates management concepts into tools for making personal decisions about career, family, and integrity. Its origin lies in advice Christensen gave to graduating business students, especially high achievers who might otherwise measure achievement by income, status, promotions, or public recognition. The book is not a memoir or a conventional self-help manual. It is an argument that theories can help people see cause and effect in their own choices before consequences become visible. Christensen organizes the discussion around three central concerns: finding meaningful work, building enduring relationships, and avoiding moral compromise. Its purpose is to help readers define a personal measure of a well-lived life and align daily choices with that measure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, management theory becomes a framework for personal judgment, the distinctive feature of how will you measure your life, is its use of business theory as a lens for personal decision-making. Christensen does not simply borrow corporate language to sound practical. He argues that a good theory explains why certain actions tend to produce certain outcomes, and that this explanatory power can help individuals anticipate the consequences of their choices. In business, managers use theories about motivation, strategy, innovation, and culture to avoid relying only on intuition. Christensen suggests that people often make life decisions with far less discipline, even though the stakes are higher. This approach gives the book a structured quality career satisfaction, family strength, and integrity are treated as outcomes shaped by repeated choices, incentives, habits, and resource allocation. The method also limits vague inspiration. Instead of asking readers merely to value happiness or purpose, Christensen asks them to examine the mechanisms that create or destroy them. The result is a practical but analytical book that treats a meaningful life as something designed through accumulated decisions rather than discovered by occasional reflection. Secondly, career happiness depends on motivation rather than visible rewards. One of the book's central career arguments is that compensation, title, and prestige are unreliable measures of professional fulfillment. Christensen contrasts external incentives with deeper sources of motivation, drawing on management thinking that distinguishes hygiene factors from true motivators. Pay, status, working conditions, and security can reduce dissatisfaction when they are inadequate, but they rarely create lasting engagement by themselves. Meaningful work more often comes from responsibility, learning, contribution, recognition for real achievement, and the feeling that one is solving problems that matter. This distinction is important because many ambitious people optimize early career choices for visible rewards that are easy to compare, while ignoring the less measurable conditions that make work satisfying over time. Christensen does not argue that money is irrelevant. Rather, he warns that it can become a misleading proxy for progress when it crowds out questions about purpose and fit. The book therefore encourages readers to evaluate careers by asking what kind of work will sustain commitment, develop capability, and allow genuine contribution, not only what role looks most impressive from the outside. Thirdly, resource allocation reveals the real strategy of a life. Christensen adapts the theory of resource allocation to show that a person's actual priorities are revealed by where time, energy, attention, and talent are spent. In organizations, strategy is not only what leaders announce, it is what receives funding, staffing, and managerial focus. The same logic applies to individuals. A person may claim that family, health, faith, learning, or service matters most, yet allocate the majority of available resources to work demands, urgent tasks, or short-term recognition. Over time, the allocation becomes the strategy, regardless of intention. This is one of the book's most concrete insights because it turns self-examination into an observable test. Readers can compare stated values with calendars, habits, and emotional investments. Christensen also distinguishes deliberate strategy from emergent strategy. Plans matter, but unexpected opportunities can redirect a life in productive ways if they are evaluated against a clear purpose. The challenge is not to control every outcome, but to make resource commitments that remain consistent with the kind of person one intends to become. Fourthly, relationships require early investment before needs become visible. The book gives unusual weight to family and close relationships, arguing that they are often neglected because their returns are delayed and difficult to measure. Work provides immediate feedback through deadlines, promotions, praise, and compensation. Relationships often do not provide the same short-term signals, especially when a spouse, child, or friend appears to be doing well. Christensen warns that this difference can distort decisions. People may postpone relational investment until a crisis reveals that trust, communication, or shared culture has weakened. By then, repair is harder than steady investment would have been. He also applies organizational culture to family life. Culture is not created mainly through slogans, but through repeated responses to problems, shared expectations, and the behaviors that are rewarded or tolerated. In a household, children learn values less from declared principles than from how adults actually spend time, handle conflict, serve others, and make trade-offs. The implication is that enduring relationships must be built as actively as careers. They require presence, attention, and consistent patterns before urgent need makes their value obvious. Lastly, marginal thinking explains how small compromises become moral failure. Christensen's final major concern is integrity, especially the danger of making exceptions that seem harmless in isolation. He uses the idea of marginal thinking to explain how people justify small deviations from their principles. In business, marginal analysis can be useful when deciding whether an additional action is worth its incremental cost. In ethics, however, the same logic can be destructive because each compromise is treated as a special case rather than part of a pattern that shapes character. The book famously emphasizes that holding to a principle completely can be easier than holding to it almost completely, because partial commitment requires repeated negotiation under pressure. This argument is not limited to dramatic legal or professional scandals. It applies to everyday rationalizations involving honesty, loyalty, responsibility, and fairness. Christensen is concerned with the process by which decent people gradually become comfortable with choices they once would have rejected. His solution is to decide core principles before the moment of temptation, when incentives and fear make clear judgment harder. Integrity becomes a system of advanced commitments, not a last-minute calculation. In conclusion, how will you measure your life? Is best suited for readers who want reflective personal development grounded in structured reasoning rather than slogans. Students and early career professionals can use it to think beyond prestige-driven choices. Mid-career readers may find it useful for auditing whether work, family, and personal values have drifted out of alignment. Parents and leaders may also benefit from its discussion of culture, because it explains how repeated behavior teaches values more powerfully than stated ideals. The practical benefit of the book lies in its diagnostic questions: what truly motivates work, where resources are actually going, whether relationships are receiving investment before crisis, and which principles are not open to negotiation. Its intellectual benefit is the translation of management theory into personal ethics, without reducing life to corporate efficiency. Compared with many books in the success and self-help category, it stands out because it does not define fulfillment as achievement, productivity, or confidence. It asks readers to choose better measures in the first place. The book is also distinctive because its tone is analytical yet morally serious. It connects career design, family life, and integrity within one framework, making it less a collection of tips than a coherent argument about how ordinary choices accumulate into a measurable life. If you would like to support Clayton M. Christensen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.